News Radio Pensacola. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I am thrilled to report that the U.S. Space Command headquarters will move to the beautiful locale of a place called Huntsville, Alabama, forever to be known from this point forward as Rocket City. Okay, so Huntsville, Alabama, we love Alabama. I only won it by about 47 points. I don't think that influenced my decision, though, right? That didn't, right?
Oh, so close. So close. Will henceforth and forever by a presidential edict be known as Rocket City. Also, this has nothing to do with politics, right? 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 More on that in a second. By the way, I don't know if you watched the, it's not really a press conference. I guess it was a press conference. There are just not many of them sitting down in the Oval Office like that, but okay, fine. So he's talking to the press yesterday with a lot of people from Alabama behind him. Not sitting, I guess he was standing. Anyway, and he talks about how when he makes that joke about not for political purposes, he kind of looks over a little bit at Pete Hegseth, and Pete Hegseth is like the most uncomfortable non-showing of any emotion at that exact moment of anybody who has ever lived. Just, I don't know, sir. I can't laugh at that. I can't acknowledge that there was politics involved. I'm going to pretend like it didn't happen. Stop looking at me. And the history of this deal of moving to Alabama, to Huntsville, as opposed to going to Colorado, is politically complicated a little bit.
We initially selected Huntsville for the SpaceCom headquarters, yet those plans were wrongfully obstructed by the Biden administration. And as you know, they moved them to a different locale. And today we're moving forward with what we want to do and the place that we want to have this. And this will be there for hopefully hundreds of years. That's where it's going to be.
So Pete Hegseth gave a little bit more of the details. You know, Trump is a broad brusher. He's not really the detail guy. Pete Hegseth kind of explained the history. If you don't know the history, is it was supposed to be in Huntsville twice, sort of. And then it got moved by Biden and now they're moving it back.
Through the Air Force, independently identified that Huntsville, Alabama was the right place to put it. For other reasons, in the next administration under Biden, they decided to move it somewhere else. Well, during that time, the DOD Inspector General, the Government Affairs Office, they did their own assessments, and where did they say SpaceCom should go? Huntsville, Alabama. So what you're doing today, Mr. President, is restoring it to precisely where it should be based on what the Space Force, the Air Force, your leadership believes will give us strategic advantage in the future. That is Huntsville, Alabama.
So Huntsville, when Trump was president the first time, won. And then when Biden became president, he ignored that win and he moved it or directed it to be moved to Colorado. And nobody could explain why. I mean, literally the investigation into giving an articulation of why Colorado, there was no explanation. So when there isn't an explanation, you're basically left with political benefit. You know, Biden's got no chance of winning Alabama. There's no benefit to doing anything good for Alabama. Alabama's, you know, as bright red as you can be, especially for Trump. And so where would you move it? Well, move it to Colorado, which is your state, a blue state, you know, a left-leaning state, a state where you can, you know, locals can say they got a lot of jobs and they got a lot of military adjacent jobs and they did a lot of good things, right? A lot of prestige, you know, for the home of NORAD already. And so they moved it to, I mean, that's the most plausible explanation. And so now when Trump is in office, he says, okay, look, Alabama's supposed to be the home anyway. Let's go ahead and move it back. I don't know what the problem is. Mike Rogers, who's from Alabama, he's also the chair of the House Armed Services Committee.
Listen, as chairman of the Armed Services Committee, I care very much about what's most important for our national security. And the president held a nationwide competition to determine where we should have this command. If y'all remember, at the end of that competition, where Alabama came in first, there was a lot of complaints from the other states who did not place well. He said, we'll do it over with new criteria to accommodate your concerns. Alabama came in first in that second competition. His Secretary of the Air Force reviewed the results, said it was fair, and the president named Huntsville. It was the Biden administration that decided to make it political, even though his own Secretary of the Air Force said it was a fair competition and it should be in Huntsville.
So Biden's own leader in the Air Force said, no, put it in Alabama. And he did it in Colorado instead. And so if you want to say it's political, and I think that it is, at least partially, it's political. But it was political when Biden moved it, and so it's political when Trump is moving it back. So then you have the question of where is it better suited? Well, Alabama. I mean, it won the competition twice. So there's really nothing to object to here. There's really, you know, your first blush is, oh, this is political. Well, you know, who politicized it first? But then, as he does, Trump ruined it. I mean, he did. He ruined it yesterday because you've got good reason, good explanation, undoing a political misbehavior with a political correct behavior, so to speak. But then he says, well, you know, put all that aside. That's not the issue.
I will say I want to thank Colorado. The problem I have with Colorado, one of the big problems, they do mail-in voting. They went to all mail-in voting. So they have automatically crooked elections. And we can't have that. When a state is for mail-in voting, that means they want dishonest elections because that's what that means. So that played a big factor also.
Okay. Putting aside the question of the inaccuracy and the fraud of mail-in balloting, which is, I guess I'm not going to put it aside. That's false. The allegations here are false. There's just no evidence that mail-in balloting like happens in Colorado and Washington and Oregon where I lived and voted and it was fine. Is some source of widespread fraud. He gets this wrong again and again. But, okay, put that aside. We know that the president's position on mail-in balloting is to end it. Certainly to end it as a everybody does it this way. Whether he wants to end it at all, I'm just kind of curious to see because everybody has mail-in balloting of some kind, including Florida, of course. My wife loves mail-in balloting because she hates having to take the time to go down to do the thing, to wait in line, to, you know, it's inconvenient. She's a mom with a couple of kids and taking care of business, and it's far, far more convenient for her to just do it at home. I prefer to go down and vote in person, so I like the idea of doing it either way. We'll see whether Trump tries to get rid of all mail-in balloting, but the lesson here was clear. I'm punishing Colorado for mail-in balloting. And if other states, you know, he doesn't have authority to tell states not to do mail-in balloting. Congress arguably does, maybe. It's not the way traditionally you have elections which are run by the states, but the clause in the amendment in the Constitution would allow Congress to set a rule. If they wanted to set a nationwide rule on this, theoretically, maybe they could, okay, that they wanted to ban mail-in balloting or ban wholesale mail-in balloting or something like that. The president does not have that authority. There's nothing in the Constitution giving him that authority, but he has exerted that authority, and, you know, he's trying to make that so, and here he's saying, look, if you don't do what I want you to do, you might not get military missions. Pay attention. Which is a terrible lesson. It's the kind of thing a dictator does. I know that word carries, you know, particular meaning and weight. And we tend to think of, you know, well, dictators are the kind of people that execute their enemies. No, I mean, a dictator is just a person who does what they want and doesn't follow the rules and uses their power for their personal objectives. You can have benevolent dictators, you can have malevolent dictators, you can have some of both, you can have sort of squishies in between. I mean, the difference between a dictator and a president is that a president is always following the rules, and a dictator doesn't. And in this case, clearly sending the message that if you want to have mail-in balloting, fine, but I'm going to use my power to retaliate against you, and I'm going to take away military missions. Even when it's justified, even when it was moved for political purposes in the first place, he goes out of his way yesterday to point out that this was done to send a message to Colorado about mail. Because what does mail-in balloting have to do with where Space Command goes? Nothing. I mean, zero. There's no relationship between the two.
In Huntsville, Space Com will play a key role in building the Golden Dome, as you know. That's going to be a big thing. Everybody wants to be a participant in it. Missile Defense Shield, we're going to be having a golden dome that the likes of which nobody's ever seen before, the finest, the best. And by the way, Canada called. They want to be a part of it, and that'll be great. But Canada wants very much to be included in that, and we're going to work something out with them, I hope.
And by the way, in using the word dictator, remember, most all politicians do stuff like this. Most all politicians use, unfortunately, you know, it's a question of how much, right? Most all politicians retaliate against their enemies, use their power. Governor DeSantis vetoing all the bills that had Alex Andrade's name on it. I mean, that's dictator stuff, right? He didn't like what Alex Andrade said about the Hope Florida Foundation and James Uthmeyer. And so he retaliated flagrantly, stupidly, counterproductively, wickedly, like a dictator would. That's dictator behavior, too. So, you know, it's obviously Trump nor DeSantis is the only one. You see the reaction from Pritzker and Newsom on the redistricting. You know, we're going to break these rules worse because you're breaking these rules. Well, that's dictators. Like, this is not uniquely this particular thing. It's just that kind of behavior is exactly the opposite of what we expect from American leaders. And he made it super clear when he came back to this again later, because somebody asked him, well, moving the headquarters, do you think that all the people who are currently affiliated with Spacecom are going to move to Huntsville? He says, I don't care. We'll find other people. Oh, by the way, they're all a bunch of frauds and cheats with their elections because of the mail-in balloting.
On Space Command, sir, are you concerned that people may not be willing to relocate from Colorado to Alabama?
No, I'm not worried. Dude, we'll get somebody else. I mean, the problem with Colorado is they have a very corrupt voting system. Look, I have so many friends in Colorado. Anytime you have mail-in voting, you have corrupt elections. It's very simple. It's very simple. Even Jimmy Carter said it with his commission. They set up a commission with him and Scoop Jackson and some people, highly regarded people. And they said the one thing, the finding was, if you have mail-in voting, you will have corrupt elections. Well,
that's false. That is not what the Carter Commission on this question decided. What they decided was that absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud. They did not discover that everywhere you have mail-in balloting, you have fraud, that you have corrupt elections. They were concerned. And when they came back later and all of the after evidence shows that there's no evidence of widespread fraud, what the Carter Commission said was, we are concerned about this. It seems like it has the possibility of fraud. The practice of it shows it doesn't really happen. So this is a great example of manipulating a fact so that a true thing becomes a lie by mischaracterizing it. And this is a lie. I mean, this is a lie. Now, whether he knows it's wrong or whether he knows what Carter actually said and, you know, or, you know, he's misunderstanding it, this is in practice, this is inaccurate. You have to know it's wrong for it to be a lie. But this is a false characterization of what the Carter investigation into mail-in balloting discovered.
Some people, highly regarded people, and they said the one thing, the finding was, if you have mail-in voting, you will have corrupt elections. Well, Your radical left governor decided that he was going to have all mail-in voting in Colorado. Once you have all mail-in voting, and for whatever reason, the Democrats cheat. And they cheat like, you know, they're not stupid. That's the only thing. They're no good on policy. They're no good on management. They're no good at government. But they're great at cheating. And they stick together, too. I give them credit for sticking together.
I'm not sure about that exactly, but so what's the takeaway? Moving it to Huntsville, perfectly justified. Moving it to Huntsville as a political lesson to states that do mail-in balloting to show them that they better get in line or else, completely unjustified. Is mail-in balloting a great source of fraud in elections? No. So what's the takeaway? Well, it's good for Alabama. It's honestly better for the U.S. It makes more sense if they're going to do Golden Dome there, which I still think is never going to happen, is never going to work. Everybody talks about it. It's not going to happen. But, you know, we'll see. You know, maybe I'm wrong about that, even though literally all the evidence is against it. Protecting an entire continent with a missile defense system is wildly different, technologically speaking, than protecting a country like Israel against it, and the types of missiles being used and the volume of missiles being used. I mean, the sheer geography is the core problem, but, you know, space of the the speed of the incoming projectiles, the volume necessary to handle at one time, you know, all of that. But we're going down this road. We're going to spend billions and hundreds of billions of dollars on making this happen, and we'll see if it does or not. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, there was there were actually some fairly entertaining non-related to Space Force moments yesterday.
Tommy Tuberville, who's a great coach, and I won't say anything about what happened with Alabama football this weekend.
Let's leave that out.
But you're not...
That's Katie Britt. Let's leave that out. Because she graduated from Alabama.
Leave that out.
But you're not used to that, right? You're not used to that. Auburn but Tommy, Auburn won, is right. They did. So you're happy.
Of course, Tommy's a former coach of Auburn, right? So he says Auburn won. You know, he doesn't care. And he's thrilled twice, right? Anyways, the funny little moments. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about a real estate transaction, you want to sell a home, buy a home, pick up a rental home, you know, one of the things you might have heard is, hey, people make money in real estate. Maybe I'll buy a long-term or a short-term rental out on the beach or just in town or wherever and participate in that, you know, landlord economy. Well, is it a good time right now? Well, with interest rates being what they are and the fact that a lot of people have old, very low interest rates on their existing mortgages on properties that might well become rental properties, are they eager to sell? Well, if they have to refinance it plus 4 or 5 points, probably not, right? And is the market itself soft on the because there's been a lot of building? And is the building affecting the price of rentals? Are they getting easily what they used to get? Well, don't ask me. Ask Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. This is what they do for a living all the time. They pay attention to this stuff. They're very familiar with the rates. And people are, you know, not just the interest rates on loans, but also the rates of rents and the rates for mortgages and the cost of homes and all of the factors that go into making a good decision about this. So ask her. Just call her up and say, Andrew says I should ask you. And she'll say, all right, cool. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray.
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, celebrate Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's, Jazz at Jackson's, celebrating Nat King and Natalie Cole featuring Ellen Vinson and Jack Zosh, and Fall Harvest at Angelina's. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
Oh, how's that flu, babe? Did you take DayQuil Intense Flu yet?
Nah, I got this. Ugh, okay, I don't got this.
You stay on the couch, and I'll grab the DayQuil.
Undo your flu symptoms with DayQuil Intense Flu. DayQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms.
I'm ready for that to-do list.
Wow, you do got this.
DayQuil Intense Flu. The daytime coughing, aching, fever, under your flu, medicine. Use as directed, keep out of reach of children.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I want a world where Frank Jr. and all the Frank Jr.'s can sit under a shade tree, breathe the air, swim in the ocean, and go into a 7-Eleven without an interpreter.
I think, Mr. Drummond, we all want that. 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. House Republicans pushing to release all Jeffrey Epstein files as Congressman Thomas Massie files a discharge petition to make government documents public. Massie said he's confident of reaching the 218 signatures needed to force a vote with all 212 Democrats expected to sign, and several Republicans, including Nancy Mace, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, already on board. Americans.
You know when I'll believe it?
When it happens.
When I'm reading them for myself. Or, yeah, to be fair, when I'm reading what somebody else who read them for themselves tells me what is in them. Because I'm never going to read them. I don't care that much. But I will read the reports. Yeah. And all the ones they just released are all basically duplicates of what's already out there. I mean, there's some other stuff, but it's on Google Drive, good Lord.
Right.
Go ahead, David.
Now, there's been a lot of talk and a lot less action on that. Americans growing pessimistic as the majority now doubt the American dream remains achievable. That, at least according to a Wall Street Journal poll, the survey found 45% of people expect the economy to get worse over the next year, and 69% say they have now abandoned their hopes of the American dream.
What?
The Wall Street Journal, I guess.
Where did they find 69% of people who have abandoned their hopes of the American dream? Oh, my God. Okay. All right. We surveying only the homeless? All right. Go ahead, David. What else?
And what else do we? Let's see here. Amazon is ending free shipping. Free shipping sharing.
There you go. There we go. 14 people just had a heart attack and ran off the road.
Outside of households, as it phases out the Prime Invitee program, they're notifying users starting October 1st that only members of the same household are eligible to share Prime benefits.
Yeah, this is sort of like Netflix ending account sharing, right? Because the whole value of having Prime is that you get your shipping for free. And, of course, you know, people like me who aren't willing to pay for Amazon Prime may have relatives, you know. And if you can't use that, well, you know. But it makes sense from a cost perspective.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, does not want any federal help despite another violent and bloody weekend on the streets of Chicago.
I refuse to play a reality game show with Donald Trump again.
Some in Chicago backed the governor.
President or whoever is sending this off to us or deploying these National Guards here, I'm not sure if that's such a good idea.
Chicago police reported 50 people shot this past week, with the 8 losing their lives. China celebrates the 80th anniversary of Japan's defeat in World War II. Massive parade where China's leader Xi Jinping, the Russian President Putin, and North Korea's Kim Jong-un stood together publicly for the very first time, in China also showcasing its new weapons. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, and it is 62 clear skies this morning in Pensacola. Of course, we'll get to our forecast in just a couple of minutes. Gulf Breeze has now updated all of its city crosswalks to meet new FDOT regulations. This is after they received a letter from the Florida Department of Transportation mandating that non-compliant green crosswalks be removed, prompting the city to repaint 7 of them.
Traffic green and a terracotta color have long been approved for supplementing the white raised crosswalks. And to our reading, that hasn't changed.
City Manager Samantha Abel talked with Channel 3. The repainting project cost about $1,000 per crosswalk. Gulf Breeze opted for the proactive approach of removing the green color to protect budget appropriations. Meanwhile, of course, Pensacola and Dofuniak Springs have also been addressing similar issues. Well, 2 men have been indicted on federal methamphetamine charges. 39-year-old Ronald White and 33-year-old Darius Whistler were charged with conspiracy to distribute and possess with intent to distribute 50 grams or more of methamphetamine and multiple counts of distribution of methamphetamine. White also faces charges for being a felon in possession of a firearm. Well, learned yesterday about this dangerous new trend on social media that could result in children being arrested or possibly even hurt. The challenge involves kids kicking doors to scare the people inside, in some cases wearing masks, even carrying fake guns.
This door kick is not a challenge. That's an invitation to tragedy. I think that is a terrible thing to do, a terrible game, and I think that it might be reasonable, considering some of the circumstances involved, to think that if someone's trying to kick your door in, that they're a threat. And again, in many cases like this, in fact, all cases like this, I would consider the use of force, to include deadly force, to be reasonable.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, and he says parents need to talk with their kids, let them know if they participate in that type of social media behavior, they'll be arrested, and that is if they survive. Well, we do have an update on that shark bite incident over by Key Largo. Medical teams were able to save the boy's leg. The 8-year-old was bit while snorkeling, and he was rushed to shore, airlifted to a hospital in Miami. Officials say the doctors got to work quickly, and the leg will not have to be amputated. Officials do say they're hopeful now that the boy can make a full recovery. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis celebrating what he's calling an essential life-saving program. He released results yesterday on the State Assistance for Fentanyl Eradication, or SAFE, program. That program provides grants for law enforcement agencies to take down drug cartel operations. The governor said since the SAFE program started 2 years ago, police have seized enough fentanyl to kill more than 100 million people. It is 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3. And right now, let's get an update from Brooke Richardson and our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have a beautiful, mostly sunny day today. 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, otherwise sunny skies, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. Going into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 73. We are going to keep a small 10% chance of rain on that Thursday. Same on Friday with mostly sunny skies, otherwise high near 90. Stay connected to Channel 3 News' first morning weather team. Download the WEARTV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
62 with clear skies. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Kraft Heinz said at least some part of the company will stay in Pittsburgh as the processed food conglomerate divides its brand into two new companies. Kraft Heinz added while announcing the split, it has no plans to move its co-headquarters in Pittsburgh and Chicago. The company has been based in southwestern Pennsylvania for more than 150 years. Shares of Alphabet jumped more than 7% in after-hours trading after a federal judge ruled that Google can keep its Chrome browser, but it won't be allowed to strike exclusive search deals and must share its search data. The decision avoided the worst-case outcome for the tech giant and largely drew from the idea that artificial intelligence has provided more choice to consumers. Alphabet-owned Waymo said it will begin testing its robo-taxis in Denver and Seattle this week. The tests will be conducted by human drivers operating the company's Jaguar I-Pace and Geely Zeekr robo-taxis. Waymo aims to expand its commercial services across the U.S. Futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
Join the People's Foundation of Northwest Florida on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30. They'll be talking about their upcoming fundraiser, Rock for Vets, as well as other initiatives they support. The Rock for Vets fundraiser is September 13th at Community Maritime Park and will support our local homeless veteran community. Learn more about Rock for Vets and the People's Foundation of Northwest Florida by tuning in tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number? Where customer service is a chatbot and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in tomorrow at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 539 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a good conversation with Sheriff Chip Simmons, including what you just heard David shared with you a little bit about the, you know, not the Ding Dong Ditch, which is horrible, by the way. And that guy has now been charged with murder, by the way. We'll tell you more about that a little bit later. But the door knock and, oh my God, all of this stuff. It's crazy. Anyway, and other stuff. Chip, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. We, as you know, you guys have a lot of events all the time. I mean, you guys get calls. Right. Calls for service are common. But this last week, we really haven't had any sort of, you know, big notables. The only one that, and you were the one that told me about this, is I had a pit bull attack, which has happened a couple times in the last month. Is that right?
Yeah, we had a child that was attacked by, I think it was a family dog, actually, a couple weeks ago. And so we worked that, and then just overnight, I got the unusual report that was described as a pit bull mix. Viciously attacked a woman in the area of, the Queen Mary Hotel or nearby Santino's Pizza.
Okay, this is Davis Highway, just north of I-10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, as I understand it, she suffered some pretty severe cuts. There were several people around trying to pull the dog off and try to help the woman. And then ultimately an individual, as I understand it, fired a round from his concealed carry.
Okay.
And ultimately scared the dog away.
Was he trying to just scare him, or was he trying? I mean,
as I understand, he just tried to scare him.
Because
I would go into the air.
I wouldn't feel comfortable shooting a dog on top of a woman if that's, you know, because that's like real easy to miss.
You've got to be very close.
Yeah.
It sounds reasonable to me that you would do anything you can at that point to try to save a life. Because it sounds like this encounter could ultimately be deadly. But anyways, the animal control, Skamania County Animal Control arrived. They took possession of the dog. As I understand, they cited the owner of the dog. And then obviously we hope that the victim does very well in her recovery.
Yeah, scary stuff. Just because I was asking the question whenever the gun is involved, perfectly justifiable use of a firearm to...
Sounds like it to me.
Okay.
You know, it's what we talk a lot about is reasonableness,
yep.
And that sounds reasonable to me. Like you said, though, be very careful if you're firing at a dog whenever the dog is attacking an individual, because there's a lot of movement there, a lot of rapid movement, and unless you can really get up close, again, it's all about your familiarity with your weapon, and I hope that an individual is familiar with the weapon that they choose to carry. In this case, that sounds, let's just use common sense.
Yeah.
And let's look at this thing. So that makes sense to me. It's reasonable.
And I mean, sort of basic things that you train your deputies on, a lot of training on this. But, if you're going to shoot a gun to help somebody or to shoot a bad guy or to shoot a bad dog or whatever the case may be, do be aware of what's behind that person or behind
right,
the dog, because
very important, right?
You don't want to shoot somebody standing behind the dog, that you miss or the bullet ricochets or whatever, it's very easy to get tunnel vision on solving the problem right in front of you and create one behind that if you don't think about it, right?
Right, and I think another thing to consider is that you can do all the training in the world. You can be in former military. You can be in law enforcement. You can be on a SWAT team. You can do all the training in the world. But you can't cover every scenario in a classroom setting or even in a training scenario or setting. And so you have to be able to be flexible with your common sense.
Yeah. It's funny when I've talked about this before, but, we bike ride a lot and,
We as in you.
And my wife and I, wife and I bike ride a lot. And, in the beginning I didn't carry, just didn't. And then I started carrying inside my backpack, which of course is of no use whatsoever. Hold on.
Time out.
Allow me to dismount and remove my backpack and let me get this thing inside of, right. It's I realized that was
in this
stupid
third zippered pouch.
Hey, funny but true. And so now I actually do carry in a way that'd be accessible. You know, you get attacked by enough dogs and you carry. And but I don't just carry a gun. I carry a Little League bat
right
in my backpack because I have used that. You know, I have used that dozens, if not more. Not I've never actually had to hit a dog, but, you know, they're good at scaring. That'll well, yeah. scare a dog
I mean,
off.
It's something
and, you know,
different. The dog, maybe the dog's been hit by a small bat before.
Yeah.
And recognizes it.
I mean, I'm not saying this is in her situation, okay? Right. But, you know, loose dogs attack people. And there's a reason that if you watch people walking around in neighborhoods, they're often carrying a stick or a bat or a something because it's useful.
Right, something. Yeah, pepper spray. You know, there's like bear spray or yeah. something that you can use.
Harsh language is probably not going to do it.
Right, and trying to pedal faster is oftentimes not the answer either.
Right, you may not be fast enough.
Especially if you're pedaling with a family member, you know, a child or something. Yeah. You got to do what you can to protect your child.
Absolutely. So anyway, just, you know, some safety tips that always
That's
good to remind people.
That's one of the reasons I don't bike ride.
It's because you can't ride fast enough?
Well, I don't like the exercise that bike ride
You don't
ride
like the
me.
Exercise? One of the fittest people I know. Other, give me a break. Whatever. All right. We had a pretty awful incident take place in Alabama. We were just talking about this at the top of the hour, this ATV wreck, where a family of 9, 2 adults and 7 kids aged 1 through 12 are all packed into a single Razor racing off-road. They run into another Razor with 2 people in it. The mom and dad are thrown out of the overfull one. Nobody's wearing their safety harness. The people in the other one are fine. They're wearing their safety harness. We got kids injured all over the place. Luckily, we think nobody killed. It's a kid, but the parents are both killed. ATV safety is no joke. I mean, these things are dangerous, right?
Yeah, we get reports, quite frankly, every year, not at all the time, but every year we get a report of an ATV accident that either hurts or seriously injures someone. And we've had people that have been killed on ATV-type vehicles. And, again, mm-hmm. this is a four-wheel, but there's also two-wheelers, four-wheelers. There's the Razor types. There's the, you know, and these things go very fast. And I, again, when I heard the news, I'm like, no, man, that entire family – for what I think is just a lack of common sense and safety protocols on their end, their entire family has changed forever.
Yeah,
you know, and so many people piling onto an ATV. I'm assuming they call it ATVs, but
yeah.
a vehicle of this sort, that's only made for, I'm assuming, what, four
right.
people, with the seat belts and whatever you want to do. That's just that's crazy, dangerous, and obviously these are some serious repercussions.
And you know. I'm sure the psychology is they probably rented it, okay? So I'm guessing. They're on vacation somewhere. They're from Georgia. They probably rented it, and they thought, well, we can't leave the kids, and you don't want to leave anybody else out of the fun, so we all want to get in on this, and go faster, Daddy. And, you know, I mean, somebody has to be the adult, you know?
And,
at some point, somebody has to be the one to say, this is not safe to do it this way.
Yeah, whether it's ATVs or whether it's riding the back of a pickup truck down a, you know, bouncy
or boat safety.
Rural road, boat safety, yeah, going
all
out.
Of it.
Into the Gulf with not enough life preservers, or, you know, overloading a boat, you know, going out shooting and having accidental discharge type things. It's all, like we talked a little bit, it's about a certain level of common sense. And,
yeah.
And sometimes, as you mentioned, someone's got to be the adult. Someone's got to think clearly.
We were talking before the break, earlier, we were talking about not just that ATV story, but the story about this 11-year-old kid. Who yes. ding-dong ditches, which is, you know, I describe that as the kind of thing that, you know, there's one part of you that as the adult you try to tell your kids, you know, don't do stupid stuff, and there's the other part of you inside that knows, like, yeah, we did that, everybody does that. It's people do, kids do silly things, you know, and on one hand you kind of want them not to, on the other hand you're like, well, that's part of grown up. But nobody should die from ding-dong ditch.
No one should die, that's correct.
And I don't understand in this story how the homeowner doesn't get charged. He shot the kid in the back, running away. An 11-year-old is not a threat. Like, I can't reasonably articulate a danger, especially if he's running away.
Well, I mean, no. As I understand it, again, 11-year-old rings the doorbell and then runs.
Yep.
Which is the basis for the entire game, if you will. And then the homeowner somehow fires and shoots them in the back. Now, I don't know if the homeowner could tell they're 11 years old, but it doesn't matter in this particular scenario. It adds to the tragedy, no doubt. But I don't know how you can justify shooting someone in the back because they rang your doorbell and then left. If that's the scenario, then every pizza delivery, every salesman would be in danger of that sort of thing. So
right.
we talk so much about
reasonableness. In fact, yep. we were talking about it for your first segment, and there is no way you can convince me that that is reasonable. And that's why I'm very careful with how we say things on specifically towards protecting yourself in your home. And I oftentimes talk about things that I would do, the advice that I give to my family members so that people understand my thought process. And my thought process is that which is given to the deputies in our agency, and our thought process on whether we bring charges or not. I don't know if the individual was charged yet or not.
He's not been charged. That's what surprises me. Now charges may be it may come back to make the case. I get that, but
and sometimes you try to figure out what is the best charge in this case. Mm-hmm. Is it a negligence manslaughter? Is it a second degree homicide? What? You know, let's talk about this scenario. Maybe they're trying to get the access to a Ring doorbell or some kind of video
evidence,
that they're doing, and maybe the thought there is that the individual may be sorry for what they did. It may not be a threat to society. I just don't understand how you cannot end up charging an individual like that. And again, for all your listeners, if someone's trying to break into your house, you do take the reasonable action to protect yourself. But if they're ringing your doorbell and running away, that is not in my thought process, that is not reasonable.
And actually, I wanted to ask you about that because somebody had texted me. I had not been familiar with it. PJ had been. The door kick challenge.
Of course he had.
He's got three teenage boys. I have three teenage boys. I don't know how many. Anyway, one's over 20. Okay, so the door kick challenge is a whole different scenario. That's not ringing the doorbell and running away. That's presenting evidence as if it's a home invasion, right?
Exactly. I don't know whether you can think that's a game or not. So, if someone's listening, you might want to have that conversation with your children. This door kick is not a challenge. That's an invitation to tragedy. I think that is a terrible thing to do, a terrible game, and I think that it might be reasonable, again, considering some of the circumstances involved, to think that if someone's trying to kick your door in, that they're a threat. And again, in many cases like this, in fact, all cases like this, I would consider the use of force, to include deadly force, to be reasonable. What I tell my family, if someone's trying to kick your door in, take steps to stop that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like you and I typically would say things like, you got to be able to see the situation. But if somebody's pounding on my door in the middle of the night, they might get shot through the door. You'd be better if you could see them. But if I know it's not the cops, and I hope I can tell it's not there, but like this one kid in Hillsborough County shows up at the door wearing a gaiter and a balaclava or whatever, and his head's all covered, his face all covered, he's got an assault weapon, looks like it's an airsoft rifle, and he bangs on the door twice, kicks it, and then shoots the airsoft rifle several times. Sounds like automatic gunfire.
That's borderline suicidal. I mean, that is crazy to think that someone would do that situation. Now, there's a difference in a hard knock and trying to kick a door in. Oftentimes, we go to a house because we do what we call a welfare check. Someone hasn't heard from a relative or a loved one or a neighbor in some time. They knock on the door, ring the doorbell, knock a little louder. But we're yelling, police department, or sheriff's office. In our scenario, so there's a difference.
And even
in that.
Playing over the loudspeakers. This is the sheriff's office.
And trying to call at the same time. And a lot of things are going on. But we're not going to – the only time we kick a door is when you have a search warrant. Now, we will gain entry, forced entry, if we see some evidence of a decomposing body or something like that. But these are different scenarios.
Right.
But so, again, if you're listening, tell your kids this is not – it ain't cool. It's not safe. And it's criminal.
We don't want you to
die.
You
try to kick someone's door in, we're going to arrest you.
Yeah.
If you survive it.
Yeah, I mean, it's property damage. And a lot of people have Ring doorbell.
Burglary,
all of this
potential, home invasion, attempted home invasion. All these things are very serious crimes.
I did want to ask you. We had talked a couple weeks ago about the ICE, trying to recruit your deputies. I don't know what kind of fallout, if any, has come from that. If they've written you an apology, a letter. I suppose that's probably not happening.
We did get an apology from the local representative from ICE.
Really,
they did share their regret and how that was handled. Even though we had not gotten the email ourselves, none of our deputies have gotten the email, and we haven't lost any deputies.
Oh, I thought your deputies had received it.
We had not yet received it. It was more of a solidarity with other agencies.
I see.
The thought was that it was going to come towards all of them.
Yeah.
It was a tactic, a broad scale type of a tactic, and we wanted to get ahead of it and voice our concerns before they continue along that line.
Okay. Okay. And the local ICE representative has actually reached out to you and apologized for that tactic?
Reached out to one of my chief deputies and explained to them that that was not something that they had intended to do.
Okay. Well, that's good.
They value the partnership. And obviously, we valued our partnership with the federal authorities as well.
All right, very good. Well, I'll take that. Recruiting is where it needs to be, up, down?
Recruiting is going very well. We have right now, we have six deputies that are in what we call field training. So they've been through rookie school or our own academy, and they're out on the street in one of three phases. And then we're working on how many we're going to have in our next class. We talk a lot about it, but the flexibility that having our own police academy gives us, so we can put as many as we want, whenever we want, into a class. So right now we're looking at getting 24 more probably by the end of this month beginning our next training academy, our next police academy. And that is while we still have another academy going on right now. So they'll probably overlap by a couple of weeks, but by the middle of October we should have those that are in our current academy out in field training, and then we will start another class 24 strong, probably to get out.
And this is maintenance. This is replacement of people retiring, dropping. This is people leaving. Yeah. Okay, so just keeping steady. Okay.
Yeah, and again, as you recall, we're adding 8 more deputy positions in about a month or so. So in October we'll have 8 more. I said it before, I'll say it again. We've never been as fully staffed, never been as capable with technology and manpower as we are today, and we're going to continue to get better and better.
Outstanding. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time, informing us, keeping us safe. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
And again, just to, we have had a fact change since yesterday, and this is that shooting that took place where that 11-year-old boy was shot in the back and killed, that homeowner has now been arrested. He was apparently, they found him, I guess, fleeing is what it seems like, based on my read, but, SWAT basically got him. He has been arrested, charged with murder. He was hiding behind a fence. I guess this was the second or the third time that they had come back to the house, and, apparently he had had enough of it. So he was hiding behind a fence, and when the kids came up and rang the doorbell, he jumped out and shot him in the back. No, definitely not an error, definitely not self-defense, definitely not justified, charged with murder, as expected. I mean, every part of this seemed like that would be the charge. Just as the sheriff, when I was talking to him off the air yesterday, indicated sometimes in certain jurisdictions, you have to wait for the state attorney or district attorney or whatever it is to, agree that a felony charge is justified in the case. I don't know whether that's what happened here, but definitely the facts have changed since yesterday. So a horrible tragedy. This is the right outcome. That is, I can't see any way that this is not a murder. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ready to level up your future? George Stone Technical College trains students for real-world careers, fast. From welding to healthcare, IT to public safety, their hands-on programs get you job-ready in months, not years. And yes, financial aid and grant opportunities are available for all students. Affordable, local, career-focused? Visit georgestonecollege.edu. That's georgestonecollege.edu and take the first step today. You can change your life at George Stone.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. It's National Guard Watch in Illinois. The leaders there bracing for President Trump to send the National Guard in. Governor J.B. Pritzker says he's learned federal agents in military vehicles have already begun staging nearby on federal property, including Naval Station Great Lakes in North Chicago.
In my mind, with your use of the phrase bracing, I picture J.B. Pritzker and all of his sveltness.
Right.
Like, hunkered down, knees locked against the pavement, pushing hard against the wooden barricade, waiting for the moment of truth. Bracing himself.
I can see it. You really paint a picture in my mind with that.
Go on.
J.B. Pritzker says Trump is also planning to direct immigration enforcement agents to raid Latino communities in the Chicago area in coming weeks. So they're bracing.
Yeah, they're bracing. They're ready. They're prepared.
I'm never going to get that out of
they're
my
crouched.
Mind.
Crouched. Modified Weaver stance with his hand out instead of a gun. Stop. Don't. Wait. Please.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.